Well, good morning, everyone. Our Bible reading today comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 13. And if you're using the church Bibles, you can find that on page 1619. Okay, Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Marjorie. Well, keep your Bibles open as we start our very first talk in our One Another series. But before we jump in, how about we pray and ask God to help us? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given it to us to draw us to yourself, to show us what it looks like to live as your people. And so as we look at these passages this morning, we ask that you would work in us by your Spirit. Help us understand your word, but more than that, please apply it to our hearts and minds and give us the will to put these things into practice. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a little while ago now, Biebs asked if I wanted to go to a work Christmas party with her. This was sort of when we were first married. And I'm like, sure. It'd be nice to meet some of these people that Biebs talks about. And it was at a restaurant, and I'm a sucker for a good meal, so I thought, why not? I'll gladly tag along. And so we get to our table, and Biebs introduces me to a couple of her work colleagues who are very polite. They're quite nice, and they say g'day and all that sort of stuff. But then fairly quickly, they just return to their conversations about work with their friends. And I get to sit there feeling pretty awkward, like I don't belong, like an outsider. Because as nurses, they've kind of got their own language that they use when talking about work, full of acronyms and very technical sort of sounding things. I didn't know that very well. Now, it was a nice enough meal. It was a nice enough night out, but I was pretty keen to leave as soon as politely we could. Now, since then, I've basically let Biebs go to all her work Christmas parties by herself because everyone enjoys themselves much more that way. Have you experienced that before? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're the sort of person who's a really good talker. You're able to feel really comfortable in any room that you walk into. Praise God for that. That's an incredible gift. But I suspect for the most of us, the rest of us, we're not like that. And so chances are we've all had those kind of experiences where we've been made to feel like an outsider who doesn't belong. And for most of us, if we've been made to feel like that, we're not overly eager to repeat that experience, are we? And so the question for us this morning as we begin our One Another series is that the experience we give people here at church? As a church, are we any better at welcoming those who join us on a Sunday than a bunch of work colleagues might be? or are we much the same? Do we make visitors here feel like outsiders, like they don't belong? I think this is a really important question for us to wrestle with, because as followers of Jesus, the Bible tells us we shouldn't be like that. In fact, we should be the exact opposite of that. Because unlike my wife's work colleagues, God has given us an incredibly compelling reason to be welcoming and to love outsiders. And so if we want to be the kind of church that anyone can walk into and immediately feel welcome and comfortable, which I think we should all want, let's look together at God's word and see how God gives us everything we need to do that. So let's jump in. The first thing we see in our passage this morning is that we're called to be welcoming to everyone who comes along to church, because ultimately Christ has welcomed us. Pick it up with me from Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Here we see the command in verse 7 to accept one another. Now in the NIV it doesn't use the word welcome, but that's the concept behind the Greek word that's here translated as accept. It means accepting one another irrespective of differences. In other words, welcoming one another. And in the context that we read just before, this is welcoming and acceptance across racial lines. Between Jews and Gentiles, that was a thing in the ancient world. And here Paul is urging both Jews and Gentiles, welcome one another. Which I think is a good reminder to us to be welcoming of one another across racial divides, across all sorts of other things that might divide us. Demographic, stage of life, socioeconomic status. We should be welcoming to one another. And notice why Paul says we should. He says, welcome one another just as Christ accepted you, and in order to bring praise to God. As Christians, we have a much greater reason to be welcoming than, say, a bunch of work colleagues. What possible reason could they have for being welcoming to an outsider? Maybe common courtesy? Maybe just plain old empathy? But as Christians, we've received the most lavish welcome imaginable by none other than the Lord Jesus himself, when he had every reason to shun us, to reject us. Because after all, we had first rejected him. It'd be like Putin walking into the Ukrainian parliament and expecting a warm welcome. And yet that's exactly the kind of welcome that Christ has offered us. As sinners, we'd hurt him. We'd angered him. We'd fought against him and rebelled against him who is our creator and our rightful ruler. Yet despite all of that, if you and me are Christians, it's because Jesus himself took the initiative to approach us and draw us back to himself through the gospel. He welcomed us when we were his enemy. When we've experienced that kind of a welcome, how could we not want to extend that same kind of welcome to others? How can we not want to bring praise to God by being visible expressions to each other of that welcome that we have in Christ? Let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing when we experience this. I remember a number of years ago now, Beebs and I and the family, we went to a large conference down on the central coast of New South Wales. And while we were there, we visited quite a large church that was down there, basically just to see what it was like. We'd heard about it. We wanted to see for ourselves. And let me tell you, it was intimidating. Outside of their auditorium was a cafe area, which was really schmick. And there are about 1,000 people milling around enjoying morning tea together after their earlier service. And so we had to walk through like a crowd of people just to get into the auditorium. And as a visitor, we were fairly early. So, of course, we sort of walked in and tried to find a seat up the back because that's what you do. Now, we're fairly churched. We know what to expect. Church isn't a weird thing for us. But in unfamiliar surroundings like that, we were actually feeling a little bit awkward, a little bit out of place. That is, until a couple with a small child sitting behind us tapped us on the shoulder and introduced themselves. They asked us where we were visiting from. They told us a little bit about themselves. They even just really helpfully just pointed where the bathrooms are because they saw we had kids and would probably need to use them. Now, it wasn't massive. It wasn't even for very long, like 5-10 minutes max before the service started. But that one small welcome on their part completely evaporated any discomfort that we were feeling. That actually really helped us enjoy the service. Now, that was a really big church, right? That's probably one of the hardest places to be welcoming, but they managed it. And as a visitor, it made a huge impact on us. And we were Christians. Imagine what impact that might have had if we were still investigating Jesus. It would have been the case that before we learned anything about him in the sermon or in any of the prayers or the songs or anything like that, we would have got a tangible taste of the welcome that Jesus himself is willing to extend us. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing if that's what we were able to communicate to people who walk through our doors? Particularly when the view that many have of Christians is that we're self-righteous, exclusive, judgmental. And unfortunately, many Christians have confirmed that all too often. And in doing so, they've given people a false impression of what Jesus himself is like. How beautiful would it be if we were a church that showed visitors what Jesus is actually like in the welcome that we extend to people? Welcoming and accepting even those who are different from us. So what might it look like for us to move in the direction of offering the kind of welcome that Jesus would? I reckon the first thing is aim to be at church early. Visitors are often early and then have to sit here awkwardly with no one around to say g'day. Now, I get for some of you that's hard. You've got kids to wrangle or various other things going on. But can I encourage you, make it a priority. Try wrangling those kids 10 minutes earlier if it helps. If it helps you, pretend we're Jetstar and we're going to shut the doors and lock you out at 10:20. Do what it takes to get here early for the sake of others. And when you get here, come prepared to look around for someone sitting by themselves. Or someone new. Go up and say g'day. Introduce yourself. Make them feel welcome. That's what was done to Beebs and I at the church that we visited, and it made the world of difference. Secondly, can I invite you to be prepared to sit somewhere different? As a general rule, we're creatures of habit, right? It's just really easy. It takes no brain power to just sit in the seat that we sit every week. Now, some of you, I understand that you sit in the seats for mobility reasons or various other things, and that's okay. But for the rest of us, Can I challenge you next week? Be intentional about where you sit. It's actually really hard to get out of your seat and walk across the other side of the room to make someone feel welcome. It's much easier if you've walked in and been intentional and noticed them and sat near them. That way, at the end of the service, you can simply turn around and say g'day to someone behind you or in front of you or next to you. Jesus has welcomed us amazingly. Wouldn't it be beautiful if when people joined us here at Willows, they might get a tangible experience of the kind of welcome that Jesus himself offers them in the way that we welcome them? So that's the first thing. But then in our second passage that we're looking at today, we see that the kind of love that we're to have for one another that spurs us on to being welcoming should actually extend beyond the Sunday gathering too, to showing hospitality to one another. And for this, we're going to jump over to 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It'll be up on the screen. This is what Peter says. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Here we see Peter urging his readers to love one another deeply, to do what Jesus himself said would be the distinctive mark of his followers. And he urges them to show one particular expression of this love. He urges them to offer hospitality to one another. And notice, it's without grumbling. Grumbling is something a kid does when you ask them to clean their room. That shouldn't be what we do when extending each other hospitality. It should flow out of a love for one another, a desire for one another's good. And I think it should flow out of gratitude towards God, because that's what we see in verse 10 at the end of our reading. Offering hospitality is simply paying forward God's gracious gifts to us. Everything we have is a gift from God to be enjoyed, yes, but also to steward. Notice that word. We're to use what God's given us for the benefit of others, to love others. And hospitality is one of the chief ways that we can do that. And I think in this case, God's given us this command for our good. Like a lot of his commands, when we obey this, it's actually good for us. Because hospitality is the gateway into deeper relationships. It's the glue which holds a community together. And surely this is something that we all ultimately crave, isn't it? Human connection with one another. I was actually reminded about the power of hospitality recently. There's a family at our church, and I won't tell you who it was, but they noticed that there was a young woman sleeping in her car across the road from their house. And so the wife, she walked across the road and invited this young woman into her home, offered her some lunch, and just offered to her to just chill with them as she played with her kids. As I was chatting with this mum, this young woman hadn't had a conversation with anyone in over a week. That's staggering to me. And yet this Christian family was able to offer some brief human connection. They prayed with her. They offered care and hospitality to this young woman who was starved of both. And they did it in Jesus' name. Now, there's lots of studies at the moment warning that as a society, we're facing a loneliness epidemic, with the number of single occupancy homes skyrocketing. People in our society are becoming increasingly isolated and lonely. And with those things comes a legion of other issues, both mental and physical. And you know what, Christians, we're not immune from that. We're not immune from experiencing loneliness and isolation. But God, in his kindness and care, in this passage, gives us the solution. And he's actually calling us to be part of that solution for one another. Each of us can play a significant part in rolling back a fellow Christian's feeling of loneliness and isolation simply by offering them hospitality, offering them your time and some genuine human connection. We can be the antidote for loneliness to one another. I think God's desire in giving us this command is that there would be no lonely people in his church. Once again, how incredible would that be if that was the case? So, what might be some ways that we could move towards this? Maybe it might look like for you making it a regular part of your life to have someone round for a meal. If you're in a stage of life and you've got the resources to do that, that would be a fantastic way to be hospitable. If you don't have your own space, though, maybe being hospitable for you is actually inviting someone out for a coffee or out for a meal. Or maybe if you've got young kids, it might be inviting another mum with kids or another family to go down to Palarenda or go down the Strand for a play. I think the essence of hospitality is just opening up your life, spending time with people. Now, I do want to be honest, though. This is hard. It's not always easy. Beebs and I, we're both introverts. Our default is to treat our home as our fortress, our safe space. To invite people in is hard. To let people disrupt our plans can be hard for us. You might be the same. Or maybe you might be struggling to summon the energy just to face people. But in God's wisdom, I think hospitality is something that does pay back dividends. Even if you're an introvert, God's designed you to need human connection. When we don't get it, our mental and physical health suffers. I've seen this phenomenon where people withdraw from others because spending time with people takes emotional energy. But this then increases their sense of isolation and loneliness. It further lowers their emotional energy, making it even harder for them to connect with others. And you can see how this just spirals downward. But God's given us one another to help short circuit that spiral. By offering one another hospitality, we can actually give one another a sense of belonging. That sense that we all need. God is incredibly wise and incredibly good in giving us this command to offer hospitality to one another. And in his kindness, he's actually incentivized obedience in this case. It's actually good for us when we obey it. Wouldn't it be beautiful as a church, through hospitality, we're able to grow into a loving community? That we could actually push back the loneliness in one another's lives, and to so care for our own that we would then be able to start pushing back the loneliness in our broader community. I think this is what God's calling us to do. So to close, I want to challenge you, what's one patterned behavior you might change in how you do church that might help you be more welcoming? Do you need to change something in the way that you do Sunday mornings to ensure you get to church early? Could you sit somewhere differently? At the end of the service, could you make a concerted effort to say hello to someone you haven't met yet? What's one step for you that you could take towards growing in your welcoming? And what's one step that you could make towards being hospitable? Could you make a list of people that you want to do something with? Whether that be invite them around, whether that be invite them out. Who could that be? What would be manageable for you in your life circumstances with the resources that God's given you? God's given us all gifts to use. So let's steward those gifts well in welcoming and showing one another hospitality. Well, let's pray that God would strengthen us for that. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the lavish welcome that you have extended to us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that while we were your enemies, you loved us enough to draw near to us, to take the initiative to draw us to yourself. Lord God, we ask that you would help us feel ever more deeply your welcome to us. And let that spur in us a desire to extend that same welcome to those around us. Lord God, grow in us a deep love for one another that would see us extend hospitality to one another. And we pray that as we do, we would be pushing back the loneliness in each other's lives. And we pray these things for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.